Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But we all have fears, right? And the thing is that we have secret fears. I know that you, and how do I know this? I know that each and every one of you has fears that are secret that nobody knows. You know how I know that? Because I have some secret fears too. I have some fears in life that I have not disclosed to anyone. Do you relate to that? Maybe there are some things that you're afraid. Some of your fears that you're afraid to talk about, right? You're afraid to talk about what you're afraid of. And that happens to all of us. Some of those I'll mention here in general that you might see out there. Like, if people knew the real me, maybe they wouldn't like me. See, so there are some people out there that fear that others may know something about them that they don't want to disclose, and that then I might not be likable. Well, does my life really matter? I'm afraid it doesn't. You know, some people have that fear that their lives really don't have meaning or don't matter. Maybe they've experienced some trauma, some difficulty, some really difficult in their lives, and they just think, well, maybe it's just not, you know, my life doesn't really matter. Some people have fear of dying alone. Dying alone. And what about if people only knew my sin, my secret sin? Oh my God, that's fearful. Or some people have fears that they might never find someone to love them, especially when you have tried and failed. I'm afraid that I'm never going to be loved again. I'm afraid that I'll never find love or true love. But you see, I'm going to show you these four people. And you know them already, because you know the Christmas story, right? I'm going to show you something about a couple of people here, or four of them. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. I'm going to show you something about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm going to show you something about Joseph, the father or the earthly father of Jesus, and the shepherds. Why do I talk about all these four groups or people, individual people in themselves? Because I know that they were told something when they were approached by God. Do not fear. So that's exactly what I want you to think about. Do not fear. It's Christmas. You know? That's the title of our message today. Because today, like I was saying a moment ago, it's good news. Christmas is good news for the most part. Unless somebody, like I said, has experienced something difficult in their year or something difficult at the time or the season of Christmas, they might just think, oh no, not Christmas again. Because it brings them bad memories, it puts them in a place of sorrow or whatever it is, and they come to this moment where it's not such good news. But really and truly, today, 2,000 years later, it's easy for us to see the news of Christmas as good news because we know what happened. We know what happened. We know the story. It has already unfolded. It's in the past. But for them, it was in their future. It was happening in their present and over in their future. So it had to be pretty scary. It wasn't really good news at the moment, probably, for them, or at least in their minds. The angel said it's good news, but they were like, oh, no, this is not good news. And I'm going to show you a few things that'll have you believing that. And when you look at it, even it says that they were afraid, but the whole city of Jerusalem, it came down to the whole city, was panicked. They were all scared of what was going on. And the news was the greatest news ever heard: the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there are different kinds of fears, you know, that we fight today. And some of those fears are on the news every day, right? How many of you watch the news? I don't watch that much news anymore. I used to watch 2 to 3, sometimes even 4 hours of news a day. That's how much time I wasted in my life. And I decided not to waste time on news anymore. I may watch news here once in a while and here and there. Because I'm going to ask you something. When you sit down and watch the news, and you turn your TV off if you ever can, after watching the news, how do you come out on the other side? How do you feel? Depressed. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's it. I'm not wanting to feel depressed no more. You know, I'm just going to be quitting this stuff because it depresses me. You think about it. There's some stuff going out there named COVID. And the variants. And the Delta. And the Omicron. Now, some of the stuff they say is true. Some of the stuff they say is fear-mongering. It could be either or. Who do you believe? It's hard to know who to believe. Because you watch one channel, they say one thing. You watch the other. And let me tell you something. The thing about news is if you only watch one channel, you're only getting one side of the story. You got to watch like four or five different channels to finally think about it. Oh, my God, they're all screwed up. I don't know what to do now. This is crazy. It's crazy. School shootings. Racial tension. Injustice. Violence. Rumors of war, inflation, gas prices, you name it. There's plenty of us to fear. There are plenty of things to fear. But what do we do? You know, for some people, it might not be such a merry Christmas. And I told you a couple of things about that last week, so listen to last week's sermon if you didn't. Because fears hold you back. But how do we live through fears? How do we live through our circumstances and combat the fears that plague us? You see, based on the Christmas story, I want to show you a few fears that they encountered and what happened, what was their response when God said, do not fear. So let's think about this. First of all, let's go to Mary. Mary, did you know? Luke chapter 1 and verse 29, verses 34. Check it out. Luke 1, verse 29 through 34. Of course, you know that the angel showed up and spoke to her and said, you highly favored one, the Lord is with you. And in verse 29 says, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation was this? Why does he call me that? Then the angel said to her, what? Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Up to this point, it may sound like, well, yeah, when I marry Joseph in the future, we'll have a baby. Oh, my God, this is so great. We'll get a name of what? They even give him your name from the heavens. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Wait a second. You know, hold on. This is starting to get weird. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Okay, now we get it. Mary's not thinking in the future. Mary's thinking like right now, because the angel's talking about right now. You will have a baby like right now. You're going to be pregnant like right now. Wow, this is amazing. And you've heard the stories. You know, of course, I only read to you a little bit of it. But this is a simple story that everybody knows. Mary, who was a famous teenage sensation from Nazareth, who was a music composer, had a number one hit song back in the day called The Magnificat, then lived in the palace with rich parents. She had a reality show and rode from town to town on a Mustang. That was Mary, right? No. Actually, I read the wrong bio on Mary. Let me give you the right one. You see, Mary was a poor little teenager that no one knew, who wrote a song that has not sold in stores, lived in a poor town called Nazareth with humble parents, and actually rode not on a Mustang, but on a donkey from town to town. Wow. And to that simple teenage young girl, the angel says, you will bear the Son of the Most High God. You see, you think about it. The angel comes to her and says, you will. Remember, Mary, have you thought about this for a second, Mary? This is the promise that you've heard. It is written. And for thousands of years, it's been expected that this boy will flood the earth. The Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God. And by the way, as a matter of fact, this baby is coming to you, first of all, and you get to be the mother of this baby. You little, simple, humble teenage girl. Wow, that had to be something. Of course, Mary's like, wait a second, this can't be. I'm a virgin. Who, me? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, right? Remember the song? And look on me with love. How many reasons did Mary have to be scared of what she just heard? Not married? Engaged? How to explain it to your fiance? Hey, I'm pregnant. It's not yours, but it's God's. You don't have to worry. What? How do you explain it to your family and friends? Mom? Dad? I got to tell you something. Oh, don't. You know parents, they know stuff before you tell them. You know? Oh, don't. I am pregnant. Pow, 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 pow. Here it comes right now. I mean, how do you tell your family? How do you tell your friends? To make matters more complicated, think about it. The last few days of her pregnancy, we're riding a donkey and walking to another town where she probably didn't know anybody anyway. And she had to give birth to this baby by herself with no help. That sounded like a very motherhood experience. Very exciting, right? Wow. Now, let's think about it for a second. How could this be? How can I be worthy of this privilege? And I want you to think that in God's hands, you are completely adequate to accomplish everything he throws at you. You see, because the problem is that Mary had a fear of inadequacy. I'm not adequate for this job. Have you ever had that fear? That you're not adequate for something that God has placed before you? If you haven't, wow. I face that fear almost every Sunday. And then on Mondays. Honestly, I do. And then the rest of the week. Because I cannot imagine why God would choose me. I'm like Mary. Now, I've gone past some of the fears of that, but I still am amazed and baffled of God and what he does and what he could do and why he chooses people. But that's Mary, the fear of inadequacy. Let's talk about Joseph for a second, the fear of disapproval. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, let's read in Matthew chapter 1 and see what happens in verses 18 through 20. This is at the birth of Jesus, you know, time, and of course, a conception, actually. So let's think about it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be what? Afraid. You see that? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel goes on to explain to him what's happening. Think about it. You're Joseph. And your fiance comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. And oh, by the way, I'm pregnant by God. As a guy, you'd be like, sure. Either she's crazy or I'm a fool. Or maybe both. Right? This is crazy. Yeah, right. Seriously? Seriously, I'm pregnant by God. Now, as a guy, think of Joseph. How do you go tell your buddies, my girlfriend's pregnant, it's not mine, I've never touched her? Really? And how did that happen? God. He will be the laughing stock of the town. That's exactly what would happen. I mean, they lived in a small town. Probably gossip went all over the place. Did you hear about little Mary? Oh, have you seen Joseph lately? He don't look good. He not looking good. That kid is so dumb. She's taking him in for a ride. I think he's gone mad. He's out of his mind. What is he talking about? And he's gonna what? But you can tell that he was afraid because he was thinking, you know what? I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm just going to quietly break the relationship with her. I don't want a scandal. Probably because he had a fear, and it's the fear of disapproval. What are people going to say about me? What are people going to say about Mary? You see, whose disapproval are you scared of? Whose approval are you living for? Have you ever thought about that? Because I think we all wrestle sometimes in our lives with approval and disapproval by whether it is our spouses, our children, our parents, our coworkers, our boss, our pastor, our small group leader, my friends. Whose approval are we living for? Are we trying to make sure that we're approved by whomever? You become a people pleaser and you don't even know it. Or are you a God pleaser? Joseph could have missed the greatest privilege. Can you think about that? He was given the privilege to become the father of the Son of God, the earthly father of the Son of God. Raising and teaching and caring for God's own son. What a great privilege. He could have missed it if he would have just gone by the fear of disapproval and said, you know what? We're just going to get away from this thing. So we don't need to be scared. God has something special for each and every one of us, and he has already planned it. He's already written it. It is set. God knows what he wants to do with you. And whether you feel that you're adequate or inadequate, whether you feel that you are approved or disapproved, God takes care of that for you. You can trust him. See, all of those fears, when you allow him to take over all of your fears, then you'll be free of any fear of disapproval or inadequacy. But let's think about the third group, the shepherds. They had a fear. Of course they did. Now, let me show you in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, just a couple of verses there, three. And it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord said, do not fear, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, not just you, but for everyone. But do not fear. Once again, they were terrified. Can you imagine being a shepherd? You're one of the lowly people in society that nobody cares about. You spend the nights out there caring for sheep. You spend the night out there trying to scare off wolves. You spend the night out there in the dark, away on a campfire, making sure that your sheep don't die. And you are totally dismissed by society because you're dealing with animals. You're dealing with blood because they get hurt and stuff like that. And you're not even allowed to come close to a synagogue or to the temple or anything like that because people start, that's a shepherd. Isolated from society. No one ever paying attention about their well-being or anything. And they're out there in the stillness and the dark of night, watching over the dumbest animal on earth, sheep. Did you know that? They're the dumbest animal to walk the earth. No. And God calls us his sheep. Is that an insult? No, it's the truth. You see, the sheep without a shepherd die. Without God, we're just as good as dead. But the shepherds were there to care for them, watching over the dumbest animals, risking their lives, defending these animals. When suddenly they're terrified, I like that word suddenly because, you see, I think we're all afraid of sudden changes. The shepherds had a fear of sudden changes. You know, when things just turn upside down for you in life, right? All of a sudden, things change in your family, at work, or wherever. All of a sudden, something comes up and it all changes. I think we're all faced with sudden changes, and it's when something changes your plans completely. When God comes in and your plans are completely changed, the adrenaline sets in and you either fight or you fly or you freeze. And I think that even the greatest Christian, when God shows up in your life and surprises you, it can be frightening. Even if you're the greatest and most spiritual Christian. But God said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. If they didn't have to fear, neither do you and I. You see, Christmas can get rid of all those fears, of all these sudden changes. Because when God suddenly changes things in your life, he has a plan for every single change. And he that creates change is in control of all changes. And that's unchanging. You can take that to the bank. So as much as you may fear God coming in and intervening in a very sudden way and changing your plans in life, you don't have to fear, right? You don't have to fear because God is here. God is more interested in changing us than in changing our circumstances. You see, when God changes your circumstances, be mindful. Okay, God, what are you trying to change in me? Because you brought this change about my circumstances, not because you care about my circumstances, but you care about me first and foremost. Because circumstances do not dictate my future. You working in my life is what dictates my future. So you see that. Now, you remember last week I talked to you about a guy that missed Christmas. His name was what? Herod. Herod. Remember Herod? You see, we spoke about him last week, and he was scared. What was he scared about? He was scared to lose his throne. He was scared to lose his position. He was the king of the Jews. But he was a psychopath, a criminal. He panicked when he heard that Jesus was born, because what he heard was like, the king of the Jews has been born. Now, he got scared. We saw that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi came from east, arrived from the east and arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Herod might have been like, what do you mean? It's me. Oh, wait a second. You're talking about somebody else. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, scared, and all of Jerusalem with him. They were terrified about this, right? And they missed it. You see, and that created a fear in Joseph and Mary. Because when you keep reading the story, you hear that the angel then tells Joseph, take the kid and the mama to Egypt. Get out of town. No, get out of the country. Get a passport and get away from here. Go to Egypt. Get as far away as you can and stay there until Herod died. Joseph then hears the angel again and says, hey, you can come back now. Herod's dead. And even at that, the Bible says that when Joseph was with Mary and Jesus coming back to Israel, they decided not to go where they were set to go because they were afraid, because Herod's son Archelaus had taken over. And they were like, if that was dad, who knows the son? We're not going there. Let's settle in Nazareth, little town again, where they wouldn't know. So that's what they did, because they were afraid. But they were being led through their fears by the angel. You know what? God can lead you through your fears. Amen? All you have to do is trust him. Now let's talk about the last person here in his fears, Zechariah. Zechariah had a fear of disappointment. I want you to think about the disappointment that this man and his wife had gone through probably so many times. That I didn't think about this until I was reading the story once again for this Christmas and trying to study it. Let's look at chapter 1 of Luke in verses 11 and 13. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah's who was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. He was gripped by fear. But the angel said to him, do not fear, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. What? What news? That was scary. Now, he's a priest. He's a good guy. And his wife, you know, nothing bad to say about her either. Kind of great gal, too. Elizabeth, his wife, is a cousin of Mary, right? Now, I want you to think about this, because Mary comes to visit Elizabeth and stays there for a few months. Now, isn't that what some parents do when their kids get pregnant out of wedlock? And they say, well, go visit your aunt for a while so nobody sees you with your big old belly around here. See, some people, they don't want the shame. They don't want to experience disappointment. They don't want to experience the disapproval, things like that. Think about those young ladies that show up at the Life Center here in Gretna. How difficult it must be. I don't know the reasons why Mary was sent to Elizabeth's house, but she was sent away. I think that helped her deal with her shame, and, well, at least the shame that people will try to impose on her and the scorn from the town. See, but these Zechariah and Elizabeth are old people, good people, righteous, but never had a child. And they probably had lost all hope. Now, I don't know, because it says here the angel tells Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Now, I don't know if Zechariah at an old age was still praying, please let us have a kid. I don't know if the angel's saying, remember when you were praying buku years ago about a baby? Well, you're getting one now. I don't know if Zechariah had quit praying for a baby or not, but he was heard. You see, God's timing is his timing. The clock belongs to him. Amen. He can do whatever he wants. So some of y'all, don't be scared of what God can do at whatever age or stage in life you may be. Hallelujah. But Zechariah was in disbelief. Of course, he was scared. Wow. Maybe he was scared because he didn't want to be disappointed again. I can imagine that Zechariah and Elizabeth had wanted to have a child because he was praying for it. I wonder if they ever had a miscarriage. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It says that they didn't have any children. I don't know. I wonder if they had tried so hard and, well, you know what I mean? Never were able to have a child. Disappointing. Oh, and how many times could have been that Zechariah and Elizabeth thought, okay, this is it. I think I'm pregnant. And then, no, I'm not. And now the angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby? Oh, no. Please, I don't want to set up my dearly beloved wife to another disappointment, especially at this age. Wow. Don't get my hopes up, angel. Have you ever been disappointed so many times in your life about anything that you might actually say, oh, no, not again? Don't be afraid. You see, as many times as the Bible says, do not fear, I'm trying to get the feeling here that God doesn't want us to be afraid. Because he says it so many times. By the way, they did get pregnant, of course, and you know the story. Their son was John the Baptist, the prophet that came and announced the Savior, Jesus, and not only announced him, and a cousin of his, he baptized him and introduced him to his ministry publicly. Amazing. But what fears do you fear? Do you fear inadequacy in your life? Maybe you think, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not cute enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know. Or maybe disapproval. Maybe you don't take well criticism, so as you go along with people because they say something, you say, okay, whatever, and you become a people pleaser. See, some people are trying to please, like I said, somebody. Have you noticed that there are some people that are trying to please someone who's already dead? Maybe a parent or a grandparent or somebody who's already dead and they're still trying to live to please that person. That's got to be hard. Looking for approval. You see, you don't need anybody's approval to be fulfilled in life. All you need is God's approval, of course. Well, what about sudden change? Are you a feel for that? Especially when you didn't create the change. I'm like, what am I going to do with this change? It scares you to death because it's unknown. You lose control. I've said this so many times around here. You know, the only thing that never changes in life is that you will have changes. That's the only thing that doesn't change, that there will be change. That's always true. And if you get, so that means that if change is normal in life and it's a recurring thing, then think about it. If change scares you or worries you, you're going to be worried all of your life because change happens every day of our lives. See, it creates worry, and worry doesn't change anything. Now, there are some people who are afraid of these sudden changes because it takes control from them, from what they seem or think that they have control over. And a lot of people excuse their desire to control circumstances and control people by the fact that they say, well, I know what I'm doing, or I know what's best for you, or I can handle this, or they want to suggest everybody what to do because they know better, or whatever. But really and truly, the desire to control circumstances and other people is nothing else than being afraid of their own insecurities. Have you ever thought about that? If you know somebody who's always trying to have control of everything, is because they're scared. They're scared. They might not tell you that. And if you tell them that, oh my God, you may get in big trouble too. Because it's insecurity. You see, the more fearful and insecure I am on the inside, the more I'm going to try to control things around me. And the more I'm going to try to control people around me. But the more secure I am about myself, then I don't need to have control of circumstances or other people. I can say, whatever. That doesn't bother me. When you're not worried about losing control, then, because you already surrender control to God. So when you surrender control to God, you don't have to worry about control, right? And about the fear of disappointment. I'm never going to let another man get close to me. I'm never going to let another woman break my heart. Or I give up on my dream. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to hope again because of the disappointments of life. So let's think about some solutions very quickly here. What to do in order to live a fear-free life this Christmas? Let's start this Christmas. Number one, surrender my life completely to God every single day. Every single day. Surrender my life to God every single day. This is not just a one time. I've seen so many people come to the altar and say yes to Jesus one time, and I surrender it all. I surrender it all right here at the altar, and then walk away and never surrender another single day to Christ. That is not what God expects. You see, Mary surrendered. Mary surrendered. If you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, it says that Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. I'm here. I'm her. I'm his slave. I'm his servant. May it be done according to your word." And the angel departed from her. See, as soon as she surrendered her will, the angel had accomplished his work. Let's go. It's done. It's finished. The work is done here. She surrendered. See, you can surrender to God every day, and you can bring your good, your bad, and your ugly. And he'll take it all, and he'll transform it too. You see, you are his servant. That's what Mary said. Why don't you declare your servant every day and say, God, I'm here to serve you. Whatever you want in my life, whatever you want to do, here I am. This is an everyday thing for it to be effective. It can't be a once a week thing. Now, do you think you'll take God by surprise when you give him control? When you give him control and surrender control, man, God's like, oh my God, don't tell me. No, not Brandy. She just surrendered all control today to me. What am I going to do with her? No, God's not going to be surprised like that, Brandy, right? No, he's not. He's going to be like, finally, that's exactly what I was expecting today. And guess what? I'll come back tomorrow, Brandy, for some more. That's exactly what God wants. Mary, you either give in to your fears or you give in to God. That was the question. So what are we going to do? Number two, stop listening to the voices of fear. So you surrender your life every day to him, but you also stop listening to the voices of fear because they're going to keep talking to you. Watch what you allow into your mind. Put a filter in everything that comes into your mind. Change what you watch, like I said. Change what you listen to. I used to listen to talk radio. I don't listen to that junk anymore. I'm tired of it. Because every time I got in the car, it was the same thing. Either a complaint or bad news or something. I'm like, you know what? Forget this. So much negative information bombarding our lives. You don't have to believe everything you hear either. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to believe everything you tell yourself. Because we are the greatest liars to ourselves. Have you found that out? That we lie to ourselves? Oh, you haven't found that out? You just lied to yourself if you think you didn't. You do. We lie to ourselves sometimes. You see, remember that ultimately the truth comes from God. So let him be your source for truth in your life. You either walk in fear or you walk in faith, right? That's the thing. They say joy is contagious, but I find that fear is more contagious than joy. Oh my God. So instead of fear, walk in faith. And watch who you hang out with. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody's fearful or whatever, you don't hang out with them because maybe they need you to conquer their fears. I always say, you know, I love roller coasters. How many of you like roller coasters? I love them. Now, I got to admit to you, I am scared of them. I'm scared of roller coasters. But I would get on any roller coaster if there's another dumb next to me who's afraid, just like me, says, let's go. Okay, we go. By myself? Mm-mm. If there's another scary cat next to me, come on, bro. Let's do this. I get on any roller coaster. And every time we go to the parks, which has been a while because I don't do that. They're too expensive anyway and too many lines. But that's another story for another day. But every time I've been, it's like hyperventilating. Are you going? And of course, Valeria's like, if you go, okay, let's go. I got to show you who dad is, right? But you see, fear is contagious too. There's some practical things you do. You just tune out some of these things. You filter them out. Get some new friends, friends of faith. Go to a small group. Oh, wait a second, because in the small group, you may find some of those negative Nellies or whatever they call them. You may find some of those people who are always afraid of something or can't see the positive in something. Well, guess what? Maybe they need you. Don't be discouraged. That means they need you. Mary had to block all of those voices in her head and say, you know what? All this criticism about my inadequacies is not going to work right now. You know why? Because by the grace of God, she was chosen. The angel said, you have found favor. You have found grace in him. So you must be totally adequate for the job. No, you can be as inadequate as you could be, and God makes you adequate. Because of his grace, he makes you adequate for whatever he presents to you. Number three, fill your mind with praise to God. Fill your mind with praise to God. Sing, praise, worship God. Listen to worship music. Get the focus off of you. And why do I say this? Because I want you to think about this. Every time we worship God in song, it's supposed to be that our focus is on looking at his attributes and worshiping him for who he is and what he's done. Isn't that what worship and singing is all about? I want you to know something, and this may be a little secret, but it can be disclosed. Our music minister, Luis, you may not know this, but when he sits down to pick the music, what he does is he throws all the names up and says, oh, that, these four songs for this Sunday. Oh, no, I'm going to play this song because Raul called me. He loves this song. That's what we're going to play this Sunday. No, that's not the way he does it. Let me tell you what he does. He starts looking at the songs and he arranges them in an order. You may have never noticed, or if you have, you're awesome. But he always starts with songs about God's attributes or God as a person, as a God, or his works. And then he works his way in. And if you notice, the last or the song before last is about you and I responds to his attributes and his work. Come just as you are. Here I am worshiping you. You see that? Those two last songs are our response, because he's always up to something good. Because there is joy in the world because he came at Christmas. You see all that? You see the connection now? You see how he plans to worship? And I want you to know, that's the key to worship and praise. That our focus goes from us to him and nothing else. That's what worship is all about, when we ascribe worth to him. Wow. So you want to lose some fears? Start playing some Christmas Christian songs. Start singing some praise and get focused on him and give him worship. Give him worship and you'll see. You see, you lose your fear when you start feeling that God is near. I always joke around and tell people, never fear, your pastor's here. That's a joke. Don't take it serious. And people, I'm being sarcastic. That's when you need to fear the most, when I'm around. That should be your greatest fear. But you see, the closer God gets to you, the bigger he looks. And the bigger God looks, the smaller your problems look. The smaller your fears will be. You see, worship and praise is supposed to be about focusing on God. And when you focus on him, everything else disappears, and so does fear. So fill your house with worship this Christmas and praise, especially Christmas songs. There's only a few thousand Christmas songs that have been written. See, Mary even came up with a song. You read it? Starting in verse 46 in Luke chapter 1. Oh my God, she goes into praise. My soul exalts the Lord. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long. It's a long, one of those long songs. Why do you think I start listening to Christmas music in August? Because I need it. I need it. So fill your mind with that worship. Do that. And last but not least, base your hopes in the promises of God. Nothing else. What gives you hope for next year? The economy getting better? Yeah, exactly. Politics? A vaccine? A booster? Whatever? What is it that gives you hope for next year? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and you all know that because you've heard that 20,000 times from this pulpit and everywhere else. Do you even know a promise from the Word? Is there a promise from the Word that you hang on to? Or do I have to read all 7,000 of them for you to pick? I hope not. Now, how many of you have insurance? You know, whether it's health, well, let's say health insurance. Health insurance is my God, it's expensive. But whenever you go into whenever you experience illness or having to have a surgery or anything like that, all of a sudden your insurance covers it. Oh, praise Jesus! Right? I'm covered. Your copay will be $25 for a $100,000 surgery. I have no problem with that. Right? Because there's something in that policy, in that manual, that says, this is covered. Here's your insurance policy manual right here. There are 7,000 clauses that protect you and promise you protection. Know your clauses. Know your promises. Rely on them, and you won't be so scared anymore. Amen? These are promises, guarantees, promises about anything you can think about in life. They're present. They're for the present and for the future. You see, Mary believed and she was blessed. That's exactly what Elizabeth told her in chapter 1, verse 45. She said, you are something else, Mary. You are blessed. Because she believed. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. See, Mary, and what about the greatest promise of all? The greatest promise of all. John 3:16. Have you ever heard of that verse? For God so what? So loved. It wasn't like for God was so angry at the world that he sent his son. You see, a lot of the Jews believed that that was the reason for God sending a Messiah, because he was so angry about what the Romans and everybody else had done to the Jews. No, God didn't send his son because he was angry. He sent him because he loved us. The believer Whoever believes. It doesn't say whoever is righteous. It doesn't say whoever does the right thing. Whoever is the good person. It says the believer. Anybody can believe, even the worst of us. And I'm proof of that. See, there's a promise there of eternal life. He gave his son. Gave his son. A son has been given. At Christmas it said, don't be afraid, for a son has been given. And the kingdom belongs to him. He's taken the shame and the guilt and the condemnation upon himself at the cross. We know that. They didn't know that yet, but we know that. That's already in the past and it's effective today. But while he did come to forgive us from our sins at the cross and have an eternal place with him in heaven, we need to understand that that's not the only thing that he accomplishes. He did not just come to earth so that you can go to heaven. He came to earth also so that we can have a meaningful, abundant life while here on earth. We don't have to wait till we get there. Life starts here. He came to take our fears here and now. Hebrews 2:15 says that we're all going to die, you see, that we might be free. Those who thought fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. See, when your fear of dying makes you a slave all of your life. And we're not, you see, this is the thing. We're all going to die. Did you know that? You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Everybody's going to die. Death is certain. It's inevitable. And to think about it in any other way, it's foolishness. So, we don't need to be afraid of dying. It's inevitable, but you cannot avoid death, but you can avoid something else. You can avoid dying with the uncertainty and the fear of what will be your eternity. That can be avoided. You can be assured and live without fear if you surrender to the one who came at Christmas because he came looking for you. He came looking for me. Emmanuel, God with us. So the best gift you can get this Christmas is take Jesus as your gift, accepting him and just taking him with you every day, because he'll be with you every single day. So you don't have to worry or fear your inadequacies, because he is adequate enough and he gives you grace. You don't have to fear disapproval because he takes you just as you are. You don't have to fear sudden changes. God wants to change you. And you don't have to fear, you know, disappointments, because he will never disappoint.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.